What up, everybody? As always, bobbing my head as though I am listening to music, even though there is no music to be found. Let me be rude real quick. Bend down all up in your face. What up? I'm doing multiple things at one time. Welcome to another episode of This Ain't Church, the podcast. I'm so excited to be in the building. I got to start off the show before we even bring our guest in, man. There's many wheels that make this thing turn. One of the more important wheels is my good friend and producer, Sam Blake, Samuel Blake, if you want to call him that. He's one of the key elements of the show, and so we're so excited that yesterday he turned 25. So y'all shout Sam out on his 25th birthday. What's your cash app, Sam? Sam B 812345. Sam B 812345. If you want to send him some Cash App love for his birthday, because I don't pay him to be on the show. I'm about to bring my guest into the show, man. It's always exciting to be in here, man. First of all, she comes in. I bring her into the room. Super modeled up. I don't even understand what's happening.
No, I'm regular today.
This is regular?
I'm regular today, friend.
I don't understand what the world is coming to. Ladies and gentlemen, the pride and joy of South Carolina. Matter of fact, there's two things that they really love in South Carolina. It's racism and the key to beat. I've got one of the two on the show today. I got the phenomenal comedian, motivational speaker, professional nurse, mama, grandma, nana, all of these things all in one. Y'all got to pray for her, man. She used to have a waist, but she completely lost it. She don't know where that is. She's been looking, can't find it. Nowhere. Y'all show some love for Nikita B. Williams. What's going on?
Yes. What's up, friend? What's good with you?
Man, I'm trying to be like you when I grow up.
Hey, come through. What up, though?
Listen, you just gave a whole sentence without even saying anything I understood. It was just like, come through, what up, though? I don't know what just happened, but it sounded great.
So that means that you are welcome, and I want to know how you doing. That's what that means.
Oh, man, you know what? I'm doing fine, man. I'm living this fluffy life. Listen, every pound you lose, I find. So every time you lose an inch on your waistline, I find it. So let's get started with this thing, man, because overall, you know, it ain't even though this is nothing that I've never told you before or that I don't believe in my heart of hearts. You one of the top comedians in the game right now, man. And as far as the talent level is concerned, something that Marcus Wiley told me just this week, as far as the talent level is concerned, you up here with everybody. Notoriety may not be there yet. You may not be a household name.
Come on. But they know me on some streets. Come on, man.
You ain't made it into the house yet. But that street?
My God. Not street. You know what I'm saying? Let's be clear. Not street.
No, yeah. Not that. No, especially not when you're a lady. You ain't
not that. Not where God. They know you from. I don't do no community service. Understand? My God.
happily married. Happily married to Mr. Smile Bright. Terrence Williams, the leader of the Smile Ministry. So listen. Let me ask you, because your introduction was long, but it's all things that you do.
Yeah.
How do you find a way to balance all of the thousand things that you do, not just on a daily basis, but even just in your life period?
So, you know what? I literally just did a training on this, friend. And the only way that the one thing I would tell people that they have to make sure they have in order to be consistent with things is desire. So your desire has to be there. So if your desire is not there at the core, you're not going to do anything, period, because you don't want to do it, right? So even in motherhood, I had to figure out a way that I would want to be a mama every day, even when these jokers wanted to act like a monkey. You understand? Because people don't talk about that part about it. I had to figure out wait every day to be a wife, even if he done got me at my highest level of pissivity. You understand? I had to figure out a way to even want to be a nurse consultant, even when people act like they didn't care about one another. So because of that, guess what? I had to find that on the inside of me too many people look for these type of things in everybody else and in everything else. So guess what happened, friend? When that person leave or that thing leave, your desire leave. So I had to connect with the desire on the inside of me. Why did I first want to start doing this? Why did I commit to this man? Why do I love being a mom? What does this mean to me? And when I was able to connect with that part of it, I'm telling you, your desire will make you find a way. Your desire will make you find time. But don't be foolish with it. You need to be organized. You need to have a schedule. My life's so busy, I can't have a schedule because things always happen. No, you just let me know that you're out of order and that things are hectic. That's what you basically just let me know. It's not saying that you're amazing because you can do all of these things, because guess what? Your internal organs are catching hell. Guess what else? Your life will be short-lived because your organs is like, I done all I can do. I had 80 years for you, but you put 20 years in on me in 5. You see what I'm saying? And because I am a nurse, I see that happen all the way around me. So I had to get myself together down in my shana, okay, to be able to understand that this is what this means and this is what I have to do. So my desire changed and then my life changed.
First, let's be clear. I didn't prep you on any of these questions. That question came out. You already had that sermon already back pocketed. You was like, hold on, let me get him this. So what, one of the key elements is exactly what the great Negro poet Rick James said, fire and desire.
Come on.
You got to have fire and desire.
Fire and desire.
Listen. So let's talk about it. Because one of the things you don't ever hear from moms, you really touched on a point, man, and we don't hear from mom. Dads get the reputation as being the ones that don't want to deal with the kids. Yeah. And mamas get this whole reputation that no matter what, mama going to love you. Yeah. So yeah. So you said there are times where as mama, you like, hold on, I don't like none of y'all for real, for real.
Come on. Come on. Like, look, let's be clear. I love all my children. I love my children like I love the Lord. But guess what? Oftentimes, he heard my cry because of these children. You see what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I love you, but I might not like you. Because guess what? We're dealing with individuals. You're dealing with different personalities. You're dealing with different emotions. There's no handbook to parenthood. I screwed up a lot. Then I tried to overcompensate for screwing up. And guess what? I screwed up in my overcompensation. Because why? I wanted to make sure that you weren't going to fall. I want to make sure you don't have to go through that. Make sure that you don't have to live through that. Now that you are in adult age, you're 21 years old, you don't know how to handle certain things because mama made sure you didn't have to deal with it. Now you don't know how to deal with it. You see what I'm saying?
So I think that's a fundamental difference between a lot of fathers and a lot of mothers, where mothers will like to get in there and do for the babies. And
we nurturers.
Right. And daddy like, let that child get out there.
Yeah.
Y'all are going there and put padding on the floor, and put rubber on the floor so that if they fall off the bed, they don't hurt themselves. Dad is be like, hey, look, I bet you what? He fall one time, but he won't fall again.
Right, but see, this is the thing, though. We had to learn, even with me and my husband, because we were raised old school. Like, that's just what it is, you know what I mean? Okay, break your arm. You ain't going to the hospital because I ain't got time for it. Tussin. You know what I mean?
You're going to put tussin on it and a Band-Aid. Period.
Get hurt if you want to, you're getting a whooping because you should have sat down. You know, that kind of stuff. So you have that extreme, and then you have the extreme of let me make sure they don't have to go through this, but where's the median? Because we have that mindset of it is what it is, it's my way or no way. Then you have children now, it's not no do as I say, not as I do. That's out the window. It's not no, you're not going to answer why, or you're not going to have a conversation with your child, because back then you were seen and not heard. Absolutely. Now, if you see your child but you don't hear them, you better start digging a little deep, because you might find something they wrote that you should have been knew about, but they didn't come to you because they don't think that they can come and they can speak to you. We had to find a happy median to be able to identify, look, just because they express themselves don't mean they talking back. We were so used to not being able to even verbalize ourselves that we see everything that the kids say as disrespectful. just because they may have a difference of opinion. Now, you have to respect me now. You're not just going to get up there popping off at the mouth and being all crazy. Now, please believe it. But at the same time, this is a whole human that you are building up to be an adult. So if you don't have this dysfunctional child, guess what they're going to be as an adult?
Dysfunctional. And so the biggest thing I think I find in parenthood, and I didn't know we were going to take the parenthood twist, but we'll roll with it for a little bit. the biggest thing I find is the fallacy that people have, and I say this a lot, there's a fallacy that people believe they are raising their own children. You are not raising your children. You're raising somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife, somebody else's mama, somebody else's daddy, somebody's lawyer, somebody, that's what you're raising. So once you have them, they pretty much done. You just guiding them to where they gonna end up being. And so when we hold them back is when we try to make them, this is my child, I'm gonna keep my child. Man, you need to be figuring out how you're gonna make them the proper adult. But I know we all think we're doing right. Jeffrey Dahmer's parents thought they was doing the right thing, didn't they?
My God.
He and that ain't eating people fillets. So
my God.
you understand? Make sure we on the right path. So now let me ask you this, and you know, and we don't have to talk about, because we're friends and I know a lot about you, we'll talk,
come on,
you know, a little bit different. And you a Southern belle,
come on,
and you one of them Southern people that call everybody by a name. It might not be theirs.
Yeah, sure.
You're gonna always be, hey baby, hey darling, hey precious,
hey, sure.
Hey friend, hey sure, all of those. You're gonna get a name. Which is cool, because I don't think a lot of people in the South actually know anybody's name. I think y'all are just
not for real. People. Why are we gonna do that?
Yeah, y'all just everybody.
If I greet you with your name, just understand.
something is going wrong. If I go from Suge, listen, every time you talk to me, it's hey friend. Every time you talk to text, everything, hey friend, hey, you come to me and be like, clear this. I'll be like, uh oh.
Right. You know, either you done did something to shift my spirit, or they 17 cuss words in my mind that I can't let out my mouth.
I didn't know there was actually 17 cuss words. I need to go.
Oh, yeah, I have them in order. I had a degree in it, friend. I was a cussologist. You understand me? I can give them to you. Bilingual, English and cuss. That's how I roll.
And you a PK.
Yes, I am.
And see, and this ain't church, so I can say it. I've learned that some PKs are some of the best cussers and biggest freaks. I have learned. I like that. So you
are.
Well,
you something else.
You already told us which one you fall into, a good cusser. But and it's funny because, especially when we talk, let's talk about some of the unique things that you had to deal with being a PK. Because you have a different angle on your PK-dom. So I've learned that a lot of the PK, especially when we talk about the females, and a lot of the male too, men or women, they had these whole, the sexual urges is in them because it's been beat into you not to.
Right. Don't you do it.
From the moment you're born, you get born day one, and they talking about you better stay pure and holy.
And you better, if you get too close, you're going to get pregnant. For years, I thought I could get pregnant with all my clothes on. You understand me? I'm like, you ain't even have to get undressed. Like,
well, technically, you can.
No, I'm talking about with them up. I mean, no,
oh, okay.
You ain't got to do nothing but be close. It's the energy. You understand? Oh, it was so foolish. You understand? But I was a tomboy, right? When I tell you I was a tomboy up until I got pregnant, you understand? My grandma had a bet with one of the women down the street. They were like, you know that girl going to be a bull dad. I said, first of all, what is a bull dad? Huh? Second of all,
is that something you kill bulls with? Do you kill bulls?
You understand? Like, you daggering me, first of all. And second of all, this deep voice has been there since I was three. You understand? I can't do nothing with that. Baby, I come through, messed right around and found out. About the thing. Yeah, listen, found out that what they said will happen if you do things. You understand? Got pregnant, friend. Listen. Two different sides of the family. Went to the one grandma. She was like, "Woo!" Well, I tell you, because I thought you was out there. You understand? Because I had made a bet. I said, "You bet on me, Lord." She was so excited that she was gonna have a grand because she thought that, hey, not so. Then I went to the other side of the family. And she just looked at me like I'm sure to go to hell that next morning. You understand me? You just done went to the dogs. And I'm like, "Well, God." So, like, what does a girl do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the pressures that we put. So one of the things that I've always talked about in the church, and one of the reasons why we kind of end up with those situations, especially with our youth, is because let's be clear. This ain't church, so I can always say what I want to say. Let's be clear.
Correct.
God knew what he was doing when he created sex. He created that thing. There was a way that we are set up. If you watch if you got a wall outlet, that wall outlet is set up to receive, and the electrical socket or the conductor is made a certain way. We are the conductor. That's how we were made,
To connect. Yes.
That coin slot was put there on purpose. So you were given, listen, a sword and a sheath, okay? Women have been sheathed, and the man has been given a sword.
He did it on purpose.
Now, there were some other things he had to throw in there. He had to make it feel amazing in order for women to continue to get pregnant. Because after you push out a baby, your life ain't the same.
It's not the same.
It ain't the same. So God did that on purpose. So one of the things that we do is in the church is we act like it's not natural to have sexual feelings or sexual desires.
We demonize it.
And so that's why so many people go wrong. You learn about it the wrong way. Now, you gonna learn. If we're not gonna teach you in church, this is something natural. If it's natural, it's gonna happen. You're gonna have desires. Listen, the human body, the male body, is set up that if you don't do it, life will do it for you. You will destroy some sheets on your own. I believe that's actually what between the sheets we're talking about.
I'm telling you right now, and then you don't talk about it. I didn't know about the male part. I didn't know about none of that until literally, what the guys go through. I didn't know about none of that until I had to throw away a whole bunch of crunchy rags. To this day, I don't go in and pick up laundry without gloves on. And I'm telling you right now, we all right right now. But you raising boys, I didn't know. My husband had to tell me. I was like, I think these kids are congested, my God. They must have a bad cold going on or something. This just crunching. That baby need a chest X-ray. He was like, nah, it ain't come from that end, my God. Always being a nurse. I'm always trying to assess stuff. Yeah, I ain't even want to assess that.
Leave them socks alone. Leave his socks alone. Socks alone.
You wonder why you always got one sock. We ain't never got no mates. You don't want that other one.
You don't want to know why. You don't want to know why.
My God.
And with our youth, one of the things that we don't do a good job is we tell them not to have sex, but we don't tell them a replacement for or how to deal with the emotions and feelings that they're going through. If you got high blood pressure and you go to the doctor tell you not you don't need salt. He don't just be like, don't do salt and leave you out. He'll tell you, hey, listen, this is why you don't want to have salt, because it's gonna do this to you. In lieu of salt, let's try some Mrs. Dash. Let's try, they'll do all of those things. So we do a horrible job of that in the church. I'm talking about horrible. But guess what, friend?
How can a person who was never taught themselves teach somebody else unless they're willing to learn? So you can't be so closed-minded to things that make you uncomfortable that you automatically dismiss it because you're uncomfortable with it. I can be all the way real and transparent with you. I had great friends that talked to my daughters about sex because I was so uncomfortable talking about it because it was always an uncomfortable conversation for me. But then, guess what? I became comfortable with it. I became comfortable talking to people after the fact when you become a single mom, when you've made what you feel like is a mistake and all that other stuff. I had to be able to turn that thing around instead of now I need to be preventative instead of me being reactive. You see? So maybe you're not comfortable in it. Good. You need to attach yourself to somebody who is. And if we thinking that, okay, if the church is for the sick people, the sick in spirit, sick in the soul, guess what? Every soul, spirit, and anything else is attached to a butt. You understand me?
It's attached to a butt. Come on. One of them out there. And listen, somebody's trying to snatch your soul.
That's all.
Sometimes through your butt. Come on now.
Sometimes.
That's why I don't go to. Sometimes. That's why I don't go to church in Atlanta. That is exactly why
you
I don't go
stupid.
To church.
You are stupid. You are stupid. You should be ashamed. But you understand.
So right? Let me ask you this. So what have your? I don't even want to call them failures. But what have your rough situations in your parenting? Because you have had some serious situations with your kids, like serious life or death type things.
Come
so
on.
So what have those taught you about, and what have those situations in turn done for you and your relationship with your kids?
So number one, the biggest thing that it did and helped me with is my relationship with God. Because for the longest, you know, I'm going to speak from my experience. In the church, I used to hear, I love hymns, you understand? But I used to be like, my God, they sound like slaves. Like, what? Why is we? I'm like, oh, that's scary. But I didn't understand the soul cry, friend, until I had one of my own. I didn't understand what it felt like to literally have no control over a circumstance. God, literally, my son is facing death. And it's not because he's sick in the body, but it's because of environmental things. It's because of poor decisions. It's because of stuff that we're going through. What can I do with this? God, I go and I talk to people. I encourage and I motivate these younger girls to do these things. And now my daughter is pregnant. What do I do with this? How am I able to decipher through these things? I did all that I knew to do, and this is still the outcome. Where did I fall from? You know, where did I fail? Like, I literally went through all these things, friend, to the point I was terribly depressed. I felt down. I struggled with suicidal ideations when I was younger. Guess what? They revisited me as an adult.
They tapped you right on the shoulder. Like, hey, remember us?
Listen, the enemy was like real talk, Keita, like, just go ahead. It ain't going the way you want to anyway. They not going to miss you. They not listening to you no way. Nobody values what you have. I mean, that's the kind of foolishness that'll be embedded in you. People have to understand that when you are gifted in an area, that's the area that the enemy will come and try to destroy. If you can sing, you'll find yourself always having something going on with your voice. If you can write or you can draw, they said I got arthritis in my hand. I'm encouraged on motivator. I'm a creative, so he likes to mess with my mind. You understand? And I'm not past that. People always want to say, oh, we bathe everything in prayer. Well, when you dry off from that bath, what are you going to do after you say amen? You understand?
Wait a minute. We're going to stick a pin in it, because you just saying, what is... Look here. First of all, you know, I'm a man, so I don't really take baths. But, I'll shower. But you said, when you dry off from that bath... what is you going to do after you say amen? We're going to stick a pin in it just because I got to do these commercials, man. Commercials are important because, you know, you're a businesswoman, and so I know you understand business.
I understand.
You're listening to This Ain't Church, man, podcast. My guest today is Nikita B. Williams, motivational speaker, comedian, mother, singer, PK, wife, all of these things, man. And this episode is brought to you by Sweet Jesus. Preaching wear. Sweet Jesus preaching wear. Pastors, it happens to y'all. You just finished preaching down heaven and now you smell like hell. Your sermon is through, but when you lift up holy hands, there's no sweet fragrance to the nostrils of the Lord. Don't worry. Sweet Jesus has the answer. Clergyman, are you there? Are you three words into your sermon and sweat is running down your face like a new pair of cheap stockings? Sweet Jesus has you covered. Sweet Jesus' patented holy moisture suppressing technology keeps the moisture down when the praises go up. No more need for you to have a post-sermon shirt. Sweet Jesus keeps your sweat in the palm of his hands and off of your back. Try Sweet Jesus today and keep the devil's sweat off your holy neck. Put on the full under armor of God and stay dry while you testify. If you order now, we will include a free pack of our Sweet Jesus prophecy fresheners so the prophecy will sound sweet and not smell sour. Try Sweet Jesus today. There we go, Sweet Jesus. Not available in any stores. Not available in any stores. So, what?
My God. Okay, huh? sweet baby Jesus. I like that.
I wanted to throw baby in there, but, you know, baby Jesus, I don't know. See, here's the thing. You know, I think of weird stuff. I don't know if baby Jesus had the power of full 33-year-old Jesus. I don't know if he had to grow into it. You know what I'm saying? So, did he come in full bore, ready to go?
Let me tell you something. You talk to what they say in church. You talking, Doc, because let me tell you, that's how we're going to transition to what you're saying, how it was able to help me with my children. Listen, This is what I had to understand, right? He said, I knew you while you were yet in your mother's womb, right? That seed was already sown. Friend, that apple is an apple, period. Rather, it doesn't matter how small or big it grows. It has the same components in it from that seed form until it grows. We choose rather or not we're going to operate in the different things that we have. It's already there. Now, certain things require a skill set. Let's say this. The doctor was born a doctor, but he had to have a certain skill set and licensure to legally do what he needs to do because he had to have a different type of knowledge base. But those core elements, they already there. Now, of course, you're going to build them up. You're going to develop them and all that other stuff. But guess why you have to do that? Because there's going to be somebody out there that's super stupid. The enemy is going to be out there super hard to try to destroy what you don't develop so that you will never develop it. And that's how I had to go towards my children. I could identify those great things in them, the positive aspects, what they really had going for them. Like I told my son, the reason why the enemy is traveling with you, number one, is because you gave him a seat as a passenger. And then it got so good till you told him, you know what, you can drive and I'll ride along. So until you decide that you want to get back in a driver's seat, son, he going to keep on manipulating you. He going to keep on telling you what to do, which way to go. Turn left right there. Oh, yeah, I know. I see it say road closed, but I know a shortcut. Until you understand that you can be your own GPS, you're going to keep on being driven by other things. You got to take your mind back. You got to understand that you got to have this foundation. Then all of that churchy stuff that I learned, it started making sense to me, friend. Whenever I start understanding that, you know, after you've done all you can, just stand. I just thought that was a cute song and it sounded good because Donna has a nice voice. But guess what? I had done all I could do. I had to trust and believe. We always have faith until it's time to use it. We always have strength until it's time to posture up. We always believe until it's time to actually believe. You understand? So I had to put myself in a position to say, you know what, Keita? Either you don't have another stroke, come on, that you might not be able to recover from because of the stress you put in your body, or you going to release the stress to the one that you're depending on, and you're going to let your kids know exactly what it is. You're going to have that conversation to let them know, with this, you doing this right here, this is your alternative. But if you was to do this right here, son, if you just listen, and this is the thing. It wasn't as simple as just listen. I had to understand all kids are created unequal. You can act like all of them the same if you want to. Oh, I treat all my kids the same. Well, guess what? Somebody missing out because they don't learn the same. They don't speak the same language. I can look at one of my children, they get it together. I can say something real strong, they'll get it together. The other one, I got to put my hands on you because you don't believe what I'm saying. You don't believe mess things. So I got to remind you. You understand? So I had to learn how to speak the language of each child. I knew I couldn't talk hard to that one that was in all of this stuff. I had to be calm, and then I had to give him something to think about. He would think about it, and I had a different response every single time. So I had to learn how to speak to him the same way we have to learn to speak to the Lord. Everybody ain't going to go down there, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming to you. Right? Everybody ain't going to do that. Everybody ain't going to be up there saying these words as long as my leg. Everybody can't T.D. Jackson. Everybody can't do that. Somebody going to have to Joel Osteen. You're going to have to slow that bad boy down. Then guess what? Some of them going to have to be just who they are, go in talking as plain as they do, no matter if you understand it or not. If he understand it, they good. So I had to let my son know, you are all right just the way that you are. He will understand you just the way that you are. He will come and meet you just where you are without making him feel like that he was nobody because he was in the place that he was in.
I think we missed a point, man, especially when we talk about church, man. One of the things that I don't like is that we try to cookie cutter church and try to make everybody's prayer has to sound this way. Everybody think, listen, there's an authenticity. I think God wants your authenticity and originality. So if you don't talk like that, then why are you talking? It's fake. I'm not a person that talks like that anyway. So when I talk to God like God sitting in the living room with me.
That's
how I am. I'm like, look, God, hey, look, I might throw, hey, look, what up, cuz?
But see, a lot of people don't know that you can even do that, because in their head, that's not acceptable, because it's not what they have seen. They've only seen the polished version of the way that people talk to God. But baby, I got the version when I get a phone call and somebody telling me I got to go to the hospital. I got the version when somebody telling me, hey, I see them, they locking them up and I need to holler at a bondsman. I got the version when they, hey, you need to go and pull up on them because they say your kids out here showing they. If you understand me, I got that version. I got the version whenever me and Mr. we bumping heads. You understand? We went from bumping bodies to bumping heads. Now we ain't bumping nothing you can bump about my face. I got that version. And I'm not afraid to have that conversation about that version, because people think it don't exist when it does.
And you got to be able to talk to them about anything, man. You got to be talking to them. We gonna move, because you don't have people sitting in. I'm about to put your Cash App up here so they can send their... so they can send their donations in, because you preaching better. You preaching better than they paying your Cash App. So let's talk about the performance part. Because you didn't grow up wanting to do that, right? That's not you didn't wake up every morning and be like, man, I want to be a comedian, I want to do all this stuff, man. What put you in that position? What brought you there?
Honestly, I wanted to be an attorney. That was always my desire. But then I took on the world of sin and enjoyed it for way too long, and I had to rethink things. So,
because sin is fun. People never want to admit that sin is fun.
That's why it's challenging to come out of it. Like,
it is. We got to make church more. That is my challenge to the church. Make church more enjoyable. Ain't nothing enjoyable in church, and y'all can be super holy and be like, I don't go to church for being joy. I go to church because I love the Lord. Listen, I love both my grandmamas, but it was one grandmama's house I like to go to a little bit more.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I enjoyed myself over at that grandmama's house. Yeah. It ain't had nothing to do with me loving my grandma, but this is the grandma's house I get ice cream at, and she got central ale. You understand what I'm saying?
But then, see, the thing about it is, not only enjoyable, people automatically attach enjoyment with sin. But we ain't gonna go there. We gonna keep it moving, because that's a whole other subject. And so you can't think of nothing that you can do that is gonna be pleasing in the sight of the Lord.
And anyway, fun.
Come on. So what?
Ain't nothing wrong with bowling.
Nothing.
The church people will figure out a way, though. Church folk will figure out a way to make bowling sin. They'll be like, well, you out there and it's late and there's beer around.
And in order for them to throw the ball down that thing, they got to be hunched over.
And who else hunches? Satan hunches. Now you put yourself in a posture of Satan because he hunched. You don't know whether Satan got scoliosis or not. You done made it up in your mind.
That's it. But look, the thing about it was, friend, I started doing comedy. We did a comedy show after my mom passed. So we did it for my dad's birthday because we wanted them to be happy and smile, because it was rough, man. It was a rough time. So I went up and I performed. I was in character. My name was Sister Eminem, but you pronounce it, right? I was being silly. When it was over, the lady was like, hey, can I get your booking information? I said, ma'am, I didn't know I was bookable. And she was like, we'll pay you. I was like, when? You understand? So when that happened, I went and did exactly what I did at my dad's thing. But throughout my life, you know how people say, you a trip or whatever, right? But I was a director of nursing at the time. And they was like, Miss Nikita, there's a comedy club that does open mic. You should go. If you go, we'll come with you. I'm like, I'm not doing that. They encouraged me to do it. Friend went. We had like literally 80 people at the comedy club. An open mic, because they came to support me, got a standing ovation, and the man was like, well, H, you brought half the club. You come back again. Don't tell none of your people you coming, and let's see if you can do it again. Came back, did it again, became a crowd favorite, and when I tell you, it was like therapy. It was like, this is it. And that's how I started doing it. I did literally, the comedian Nikita B was born after the death of my mom.
Mm. So let's talk about something else about, so here's what's amazing to me, some of the things that have happened in your life. And since you brought it up, since we talking legal talk, since you opened the door, you introduced the evidence. one of my most memorable times in my life was you had a stroke.
Yeah.
And you decided that you weren't gonna let the stroke hold you down. And probably before you were ready to come back to the stage,
yeah,
you went ahead and held the show. And you called me and asked me to be on it.
Yeah.
So let me explain to you. So I don't miss moments often. So for me, friendship is not about whether you talk every day, whether y'all go out and eat chicken all the time, or you know, whatever. Friendship is about one of the key elements of friendship is when it gets thick.
Come on.
Who do you call on? Because there's people that you talk to every day that when they get real, they not, you ain't finna call them.
No.
So things that gotten rough in your life and you called me and you was like, hey, friend, I really want you to be on this. You like, I don't know about no money. I'm like, man, I don't talk to me about no money, man. You asked me to be there, I finna be there. So me and Tim came and you did this show and it was amazing because you won't unstroke yet.
Right,
I was
still stroke-ish.
I don't, you had a lot of stroke-like, you had a lot of stroke-like, you know, tendencies. Did the show, and you kind of ended it like, yo, look, I'm tired.
I was so tired, friend.
You was on the stool, you like, look, I'm tired.
You know what it is.
But it birthed, I think, a whole separate part of your career. Because the motivational speaking became such a big part of your life after that. You even looked at your nursing career a little bit differently. The situation with your residents, man, it's been a lot of things. How have you been able to overcome all of these negatives that have been placed in your life and still come out and not only shine in what you do, but be a motivational speaker? Because there's somebody out there right now that's going through a lot of different things. And they don't see why they're going through it, and they don't know how they're going to come out of it better. How can you encourage somebody today that's going through whatever they feel is the biggest trial of their life, and you keep coming out of it and coming out of it better?
So, friend, if you seen the letters YAA and you had to pronounce it, how would you pronounce that?
Yeah,
right? But guess what? He answers in y'alls to me. And what is that? Yes and amen. Period. That's all it is. He works in yes and amen. Everything about him. So because I know that if this went on in me, he allowed it. Yes. Will he bring me through? Absolutely. Amen. And that's what I stuck with. I got that y'all mentality. I know that whatever I go through, I'm going through because it's going to be somebody that's going through something similar, maybe not as bad, and they're going to see me and be like, what in the world? Now, if she can pop out after that, surely I can. If she went through that, I know that there's something for me. And then there's other people that, guess what? You attract who you used to be and who you desire to become. Period. You attract who you used to be. Why? Because them people see something in your current status that they desire to have for themselves. And you also attract who you desire to become. You might not be attractive to them, but you're going to be attracted because why? You see your place of growth. So what you have to understand is this, y'all. When he responds to y'all's with me, guess what? It's the same yes and amen for you too. You have to get out of self. We think way too much about ourselves. We think way too highly of ourselves. We think because we're so great and we did this and I did that and I ain't do none of these things and I'm going through this. And you know I got to go there. He didn't do half of what the people accused him of. And he went up Golgotha's Hill and got on Calvary's Cross. So if you're a believer the way that I'm a believer, you have to believe that everything that he said is so, not just a little bit of it, because you hadn't always went through that all the time. So when we was having good times, oh, what a mighty God we serve. We in it, right? Baby, you get to one of them, I've had some good days, and you want to do all this other stuff, and you got your heels to climb. You done forgot that he was mighty. You understand? So it's not a problem within you as far as you a person and what did I do. It's a problem with your relationship and your connection with the one that you serve. And let's just be clear, like the ones that they even say, well, everybody don't believe, and it seemed like they winning. It seemed like they doing. Guess what? They consistent. Their belief system is totally different from yours. Their mindset is totally different from yours. I'll be all the way transparent. When I first did my first business and I was doing a transaction or whatever, baby, it was a friend and a family member. They were street pharmacists. Okay, you fill in the blanks. Well, I always told them you was a perverted businessman. You have all of the business acumen, but you letting the enemy handle it in a totally different way. That's better for you. But guess what? They believed enough in themselves to say, you know what? I'm gonna get it how I live. Right? And that's how they live. But they saw in me, I really desired and I really wanted to. He was like, where your church people at? H, y'all the one with all the faith. Y'all the ones that believe. I don't never see them blank blanks over here. You see? Because that is what people see. They see action. What are your actions doing? You got to make sure that your actions match your mouth. You saying I believe, but out your mouth, I don't know what's going on. You saying you can do it, but out your mouth, you saying, I ain't going to be able to do that. You saying that I have the faith, but your mouth saying, I don't even know. You got to proofread your thoughts. Here, what you thinking? Thoughts become things. So to the people who desire to do more, to the people who you know they better for you, it's better around you though. Or are you entertaining the foolishness that keep you bound? It's better around you. Are you entertaining people that never believed in themselves? But you feel obligated because that person gave birth to you. You feel obligated because they went half on the seed that created you in the creation that you are. You feel obligated because you being friends forever. These obligations that we put on ourselves are attached to people that was never meant to be a part of our journey. But because we're so scared to step out and walk alone because we feel like we're going to be by ourselves all the time. No, he got to get you by yourself so he can get your mind right. When you start walking, think about it, friend. You can start walking by yourself. Nobody's on that walking path with you or anything. And then if you start thinking about a certain thing or your mood start changing, your mindset start changing, you'll start seeing people and recognizing people that you didn't even know was there. You know why? Because you had no need to know that they was there because you had too much confusion and other foolishness on your mind. But now that your mind is clear, your path can be directed. And he said he'll direct my path. I don't know which way to go. You don't need to go nowhere. You ain't even got your shoes on, but you're so overly complicating things that you ain't even recognize that.
I ain't even got my shoes on.
You ain't even got your shoes on.
And you wanna buy your feet, how you finna go somewhere with no shoes on? You know what? Let me tell you. First of all, let me tell you why me and you now have beef. Because ain't nobody supposed to come on my show and talk better than me. That's the first and foremost. I don't know. Whenever you get your show, you invite me. I'm coming on that thing. I'm going to be deeper than the oceans. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't care if I got to steal somebody else's deep lines. I'm going to put them out there.
Listen, we'll talk about that deepness. Some people so deep they'll drown, friend. And they too arrogant to reach to say they need help. Like, get yourself together. That's a problem for somebody on here right now. You scared to say you need help because you scared about what somebody going to say. You driving a car that ain't even got insurance on it, but it's got good tags. But you too embarrassed to let somebody know because you don't want them to see that you couldn't handle certain things. You're already 3 car payments behind. They looking for it. Go park it. You understand? Who cares? You need to do what's necessary so that you can do what's necessary. Come on, quit playing. Stop getting caught up over the foolishness.
Be a grown up.
I used to worry about my hair until I went through chemo. I was so glad that I was alive to be able to touch my scalp. I didn't care if hair was on it or not. Stop getting caught up on stupid stuff. But I'm going to tell you how good God is, though. He allowed me to keep my edges. He didn't have to do that, friend. My God. He didn't have to do that. Yes, sir. So even I ain't having a little bit up here. But I had enough to be able to put that wig on. I had them edges, though. And he made my crooked places straight. Lord, I thank
you. I ain't mess with you. She said go park the car. Listen, I'm going to tell you, people be like that now. Look, so I told somebody else, I'm trying to find me a little kick around car. I don't care what it got on it, man. I'm tired of paying gas. So look, I don't care what you, I say, I don't care what you think when you see men. And you see men or you go, you just know that I'm getting from point A to point B because that's where I want to go. And I don't care. And I don't care what they think no more. I done got to that. That's, there's a freedom in that. There's a freedom in that. If my four-wheel car ain't got but three wheels, but I'm rolling and steady, y'all leave me alone.
You
will
get there quicker than somebody walking.
I got somewhere to be. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there somehow. Let me ask you this, man, without you going in the sermon number 7.
Oh, okay. I got you.
How do you keep people from misplacing you and your talent? So one of the things that I've known, because the church will do this quick.
Yeah.
You're a comedian, you're a motivational speaker, and because you know word and you able to put words together, they going to figure, Nikita, you need to be preaching.
Oh yeah,
we need you in the pulpit. There's a calling on your life.
On your life, yes. Yeah, you know what I told him? I have two phones, and they with Verizon. I have great service. He hadn't called either one of them and told me that. Okay, that's first of all. But this is the thing. You helped me with that when I first started out. Whether you remember it or not, it was you, and it was Rodney Perry. And both of you told me in your own way, like, look, man. Like, you got a way about you, and people going to try to get you to do things their way. Don't let people box you in. Y'all told me that from the beginning. I never forgot it, and that's the way I felt. Rodney Perry was the one that told me to stop being so churchy. He said, Nikita, you can go to a comedy club and rip just off of everyday life. This is what really stuck to me. He said, you were funny on stage, but you were funnier in the green room. But guess what, friend? I was talking about everyday life, regular stuff, because I was conditioned and thought that if I talked about anything other than church, then I'm going to be out of his will, that I'm doing the wrong thing, and all this other foolishness. So what I had to understand is this, because I know that anything can be a ministry. Anything. You can minister to people through doing their hair. You can minister through people by designing. You can minister through people, especially with us, through laughter, because it's like a medicine. So because I knew that, I knew my boundaries. And not only knowing my boundaries, I have a relationship with them. So if he want to holler at me about doing something different, I'm pretty sure that he going to tell me first. You know what I'm saying? So now I have that mindset, though. And I remember what you guys told me. Don't let people put me in a box. That's how we got the hope deal and the purpose booster. I feel like I'm fulfilling that part of it. And then I got a little bit of foolishness in the middle. So it just make a perfect blend.
That's what's up, man. I didn't know I had said it. Sometimes by accident, I can affect somebody's life positively. Usually by accident. I think that we need more of that, man. You know, one of the main reasons, you know, I'm comfortable with talking about being fired, but I think one of the main reasons I just got fired from the radio is because I don't want to do churchy stuff. And I realize that people who go to church, people who have relationship with God, still have everyday problems.
Everyday problems.
You being saved don't make you have, there's no box for saved problems, unsaved problems.
Nope.
Saved people, listen, I got on there on my show on Valentine's Day. I told all the saved people, go hunch on your wife. go do it. It's Valentine's Day. Go do it.
Yes.
Why is there so many people in the church not doing it? Do it. If I was a pastor, I'd tell everybody, do it. If you're married, do it, and do it unprotected. We need more people in here. Get some babies in this church.
Do everything the opposite of COVID.
Do it.
Everything.
So now you in here now. So here's the thing. So now, you know, I said that back in February. March come, COVID shut everything down. People in the house, and you don't even know how to love on your wife. You ain't, because you ain't been doing it. You don't have no idea. Man, listen, I'm tell you what. If I was married, COVID, I'm putting a sock on the door. Y'all, hey, y'all stay out of here. Me and your mama finna tarry. Me and my wife is finna tarry. We gonna be on the threshing floor, on the kitchen floor. It's gonna be a lot of floors we gonna be on. But y'all done spent so much time not loving each other, going to church, being churchy, that now you put into a real situation and you don't know how to deal with each other.
Because
all y'all know how to do is church.
Come on. People do what's routine. They don't do what's required.
And my producer Sam said, and the church don't get us ready for that.
No, they don't.
The church will tell you everything to do in your marriage except hunch.
Listen.
They won't tell you about hunching.
Friend, I got a whole prayer for it. This woman hired me to come to her reception and do the honeymoon prayer. Baby, I send them off. But I want it to be blessed. You hear me? Listen, you know that y'all, you know, you can get a little nervous or whatever. I got a part in there where I tell him, I said, Lord, if he has a Lazarus experience and go dead down there, I want you to rise him above it all.
Come on, sir. Come on now.
Yes, sir. I can't tell you the rest. They ain't ready for it.
Yeah, church, you know, this ain't church, but I think that church is not, we don't deal with reality a lot of times in church. Right. So now Christians are behind the eight ball on everything. We're not going in there and talking to them. Like you said, drug dealers. We teach drug dealers know how to teach drug dealers. Drug dealers can turn you quick. They come in there, man, 30 minutes, you learn how to turn baking soda in a crack and what you got to do. We done learned it.
You don't know about marketing, advertising, all that.
He done taught you that in 30 minutes in the church, man. All we talk about is how to give money. We don't even teach people how to make money the right way. You understand what I'm saying?
How to invest it.
We keep telling people, give your money, God gonna bless you. All right, cool. Yeah. But we can also tell them to take that same thing. We can take that same little problem and be like, look here. If you give 10%, take 2%, put it in the stock market. Get good stocks. Mm-hmm. Do this. Mm-hmm. We can teach that in church. Then if the pastors were smart, I'll tell you what, if I was a pastor, I'd be like, look here. The more y'all make, the more my church gonna make. Let me go ahead and help y'all get money too. If I need to front your, if I need to front your drug business, I'll get you one
really?
Key.
No,
one
sir.
Key on me.
No, sir. No.
In my one church, in my on church, me. One key on me. That's what
you
I.
You are terrible.
One key on me.
Yeah, and then I guess I joined. It used to be Sinner's Mass Choir. Since we rolling like that,
might as well, man. Tootsie roll in church sometime. So, we gonna get, man. It's been amazing, man. And I've been admonished. My producer over there reminded me of time. I do got to do a quick real commercial, man. This show has been brought to you by Spiritual Creations LLC. Spiritual Creations LLC. If you have any needs, my man Willie Jordan is the man to get with. And he will make it. I'm going to have a brand new banner in the back in a little bit that Will is making, man. It's an 8x8 banner. It's going to be great. He does the step and repeats. He does business cards, all kinds of stuff. Spiritual Creations, LLC. Spiritual Creations, LLC at gmail.com. If you got any needs, you can hit him up for that. So let's talk about just some real stuff. You're one of my close friends. Listen, I love you and your husband, both of y'all, first and foremost. I've learned something. It's always uncomfortable, not uncomfortable. Y'all have done a great job of making it comfortable. For me, it used to be really difficult for me to be friends with a woman and not her husband. It's got to be something wrong there. If you can't speak to her husband, I ain't saying y'all got to go out and hang on weekends.
Right.
Your husband owe me a watch, too, but we'll talk about that later. Tell him, don't think I forgot.
Okay.
Don't think I forgot. But what is one of the things that you find? Because he's in everything. We all together, man. Me, you, your husband. What one? I'm talking about wonderful guy. Wonderful guy. You know, I don't have to live with him, so you know, in my limited experiences. But we all get to hang out. One of the things that I love about you is that you getting a little money, but you're so real with it. But you're so real with it. But you ain't finna spend it. We go out. Where were we at? What city were we in? We did a show. Was this Atlanta?
We've been so many places. It was somewhere different than Atlanta. It was somewhere off because you was like, surely you're going to do something different.
Wherever we were. Are we like, we're going to go somewhere. Now, let me tell y'all about them. They pulled up, Mercedes, iced out, cream on the inside, cream on the outside. Come on, clean, Sam. Clean. Her husband only wear three-piece outfits. It don't matter what it is. He's going to have on a three-piece short set, three-piece suit, matching gaiters, rings, watch on, all of that. Completely
ready to be robbed.
All the time. I'm like, let's go out to eat. She's also, you know, Applebee's got that 2 for $20. They got a 2 for $20 at Applebee's. I said a 2 for $20.
Now they got the 2 for $25 too, friend.
like, we're going to get us a two. I knew we were going to Shea Whitey that day. She was like, no, we're going for 225. Now, you got a lot of talents. You incorporate your musical ability on the stage because you sing.
Boy, I can't sing.
You're a singer. But you're one of the people that I'm afraid of. You are a lady tenor.
Yes, listen. You be like, oh, them men sound good. But that was me.
You know, I'm afraid that of lady tenors. You the only lady tenor I know that don't smoke. And if you do, you know, I just ain't never seen you.
I don't smoke.
Lady tenors are just scary to me, man. Lady tenors always are like named Ethel or Louise. And they,
and now you got Nikita.
They always hitting on your daddy. That lady tenor, you tell your daddy I say hello.
Tell your daddy I said hi.
Hello. The lady tunnels are scary, man. Y'all are a scary bunch. All right, so we got to get to know about you. You have how many kids?
We have six. We have a blended family. We have six children. Yes, God.
All together. Come through tax time. The oldest being? The oldest is?
24.
The youngest is?
8.
And that's the one that keeps you in the prayer closet.
Listen. Look, the oldest two was the ones that kept us in that prayer closet. Now the 8-year-old, he keep us there for different reasons. Because this baby don't believe that nobody is mean. He believes everybody is going to love him. And no, they shouldn't do that. You know, he's that kind of kid. So I can just see him being so vulnerable. You know, we try to, you know, get them right, but oh man.
Y'all trying to thug him out. Y'all trying?
Yeah,
I had the same problem. I say I got the same problem with my 8-year-old. My 8-year-old and I are the same size. But he's so nice. He is so nice. He still wants to cuddle and hug.
Yeah.
And I just be like, hey man, just punch me in my chest. Just show me you love me that way. That's I need you to get into this real world, man, and do that. Now here's the question that we ask everybody that comes on the show. Because it's how I can determine what type of person you are.
Okay.
What's your favorite cereal?
My favorite cereal? Oh, God. It's going to either be Frosted Flakes or Fruit Loops.
See, and those are acceptable cereals. It shows me that you've grown. But you still got that kid in you. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't gone too far.
But look, I can eat it. I can eat them plain without milk because I don't do milk like that.
See there, look at that responsibility. That shows even more. That shows I'm writing my prophecy. But has anybody ever dealt with the fact that no matter which one of the colors of Fruit Loops you eat, they all the same taste?
All the same taste.
Ain't no lemon Fruit Loop. It's mental. In your mind, you think the yellow is lemon, the red is cherry. I don't even know all the colors of Fruit Loops, but all of them taste exactly the same.
Friend, you just said you just went deep and didn't even know it. Baby, listen. The world the same way.
I was gonna say the same thing. No matter what color the woman is, she tastes the same.
So they some that's unclean, my God. They some that, you know, spoiled fruit is what I'm saying.
Some of that fruit is rotten. Come here now.
Some of it is.
The milk is gone bad. But go ahead. I can't say that in church, but I can say it out here.
You mess with it before you even get close to it, my God. Huh? This has expired. But what I'm saying is...
You got to teach them to go to the belly button first and see if you catch a scent. If you can smell it at the belly button, walk away. Shake the dust from your feet.
Boy, you are foolish. Okay, do you hear me?
It's somebody that was real saved that listened to my show. And even though it saved this ain't...
Coronavirus!
They
love them. They look different. They got different colors. They'll even change your milk a different color. But at the end of the day, they are all the same. But all of them can add a different type value. It's all in the way that you see it, friend.
I love it. You just so deep. You about to preach the Fruit Loop sermon. It's a pastor out there talking about Fruit Loops.
Look at you. Let me say Fruit Loop.
And we all following Toucan Sam. Come on here. Huh? Just follow your nose. That's gonna be the name of the sermon. Just follow your nose.
Ooh, Lord.
Because you're going to get a lot of no's in life, huh? But it's all in how you follow the no, huh? Are you going to follow that no and just sit down and die? No, you need to follow that no, huh?
Come on.
Tell them that I know a man that says, yeah, yes, and amen. Come on. Just follow your no's, huh? The no's are going to come in life, huh? But just follow the no's.
My God.
We're going to move. We're going to move. Somebody is writing that down, right? Follow your nose.
Follow the nose.
If y'all at virtual church this week and y'all hear the follow your nose sermon, y'all tell that pastor he owed me $5.50. Let everybody know where they can follow you, man, because you have a myriad of things that you do. I know COVID has changed the way that we approach life as comedians, but you're still amazing, man. You're doing the nursing. Do we need to wear the mask?
I need you to wear the mask, friend.
Okay. I got quite a few of them.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, you got juicy mouths and thick throats out here. I need y'all to go ahead and cover it. And this is what I want to just show you, friend. Like, this right here, friend, like, I just need y'all to take care of yourself. This right here, I need you to cover all of it. And when you go and you do this, it's equivalent to, like, nothing, really. You understand? You might as well. I mean, like, what you doing?
People don't even understand. They take the test through your nose.
They take the test through your nose, listen, you have to think about orifice. That means an opening. Anything that have mucus, that can be your tear ducts, your eye, your nose, your mouth, you know, things like that. So you have to be real mindful. And I know there's a lot of conspiracy theorists and all this other stuff, but let's just do the basics. Can we do that? Can we just stick to the basics? Can we have a covering? Oh, my God.
Somebody, what are you without a covering? Come on, man. Too many of y'all are operating without a covering. Operating without a covering. And, they better preach this. It's sermon number two, pastors.
Listen,
when you out there without a covering, you leave yourself exposed.
You leave yourself exposed.
With no
covering. And when you have to go through the test, things going to have to go deeper than you expected them to go. My God.
Glory.
So for those of you who want to follow me not in your car, but on Facebook at Nikita B, N-I-K-I-T-A-B as in boy, Nikita B. On all other social media platforms is I am Nikita B, because that's who I am. And it's enough to tell the Lord, thank you.
She's your hope dealer, your purpose pusher, Nikita B. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Tell your husband he owe me a watch.
Thank you for having me. I will.
Man, look, I love the fact that I asked you to come on and you like, yep, I ain't looking at my schedule, but I'm free.
Yeah, hey, for you, I am, friend, because I love you like that. I appreciate you so much.
Man, thank you so much. Love you, too. And again, tell your husband he owe me a watch. Hey,
I got you.
We'll be back again next Monday, man, with another episode, man. My guest is the pride and joy of both Chick-fil-A and Greensboro, North Carolina.
Hey,
the one and only Tim. Mr. Tim Shropshire.
Yes.
So you want to be in here to hear about that, man, and see what he got to say. Again, man, y'all follow me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all of those. All you got to do is look up This Ain't Church. This episode will be on in a couple of days because I want to let it marinate on Facebook first. But y'all go ahead and get it, man, and enjoy it. And tell a friend. Share this. I'm getting some sponsors. There you go, because I'm getting ready to get some sponsors. And I'm going to start giving away stuff, man. You never know, man. Ladies, you know, I may give across your heart out, man. You might have been sagging and dragging all this time, and I might be able to pick you up. And
if he has to reach way down, he'll lift you up.
Come on now. Come on. I appreciate it, man. We'll be back on Monday, man, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Appreciate y'all. This ain't church. I'm out.